Today's podcast is brought to you by Me Derby, the leading executive search firm specializing in staffing and workforce solutions. Since 1988, Me Derby has completed over 2,500 executive and management level searches for hundreds of companies, from startups to the largest global players across every staffing discipline. We appreciate Me Derby's dedication to advancing the conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion in the staffing industry, and are proud to feature them today. Learn more at MeDerby.com. On this episode of The Edge, Michelle Sims, CEO at UPRO, joins Clear Edge Marketing CEO and founder Leslie Vickery for an uplifting discussion centered on persistence and confidence. The pair talk about how Michelle has led with confidence throughout her career, why it's so important to be your number one fan, their shared passion for diversity in the C-suite, finding dog balance, and more. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Edge podcast. I am your host, Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of Clear Edge Marketing. For those of you new to the Edge, we feature executive women in the recruitment industry in an effort to shine the light on the wonderful women leading our industry forward. And for up-and-comers, if they see it, women in executive roles and understand the day in the life of the C-suite, they can certainly envision and be it. For today's episode, it brings me great pleasure to welcome Michelle Sims, CEO of UPRO, where she has been the past 2 years. Prior to joining UPRO, Michelle got her start in staffing exactly where I did, actually, Spherion, then Randstad and Hospitality Staffing Solutions. That said, Michelle didn't start her career in staffing. We'll find out how she landed in our industry and much more during today's show. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Leslie. Thrilled to be here.
Let's take a look at your career journey. How did you get started in the staffing industry? And what stands out to you as pivotal moments that got you to where you are today?
Well, I am confident you hear this. How often do you hear you didn't go to school for staffing? You just kind of fell in it. I fell into it, like most of us.
And a little bit, maybe every episode.
Yep, pretty much. I went to school for marketing and then I took sales, right? So really from marketing to sales, and then I wanted to grow into management, and management leads you to operations, and that led me to HR. And as you know, HR being part of staffing, I was on the client side, and it really never occurred to me to work on the non-corporate side of HR, and didn't really know what that meant until it did. So how I landed in it, I was a single mom and job stability was certainly more important than opportunity. And so you roll up your sleeves and you just do the work. And I got a call from a leader, that's Spherion, who I'd worked with many years before, and she was looking to build a team. At that same time, my daughter got the flu. And I needed to stay home with her for, a good week or so. My boss at the time, being a female, says to me, "Why are you always the one that needs to stay home? Where's the dad?" Certainly, that struck a chord, and decided that the opportunity in front of me, though I had no idea what I was getting into from a staffing perspective, was a pivotal moment. So there I was. I put this lovely woman in her place. I told her what I felt about her reaction to me staying home as a mom, and I quit. I had no idea what I was getting into. I took a pay cut and knew I had faith in my own abilities, and here I am.
Wow. Well, a couple things out of that. One, the mom shaming that happens is such a shame. No pun intended there. Good for you for using your voice and standing up for yourself and for what was right. As I mentioned in the intro, just kind of that, if you see it, you can be it. The see it, say it moments are so critical. So thank you for doing that and sharing your story. It certainly is something that I think many people will walk away saying, wow, good for her for doing that.
Thank you. It was definitely pivotal and so glad I took the leap, stood up for myself. Something that we don't do too often, right? Until we have that pressing circumstance. And then all of a sudden we find our voice.
Right.
Well, I really enjoyed, Michelle, as I was getting to know you, learning about your why behind joining UPro and your own personal story of growing up with a single mom, becoming a single mom, and the path you're trying to pave for your daughter. So underrepresented talent have opportunities and aren't overlooked based on their circumstances or zip code. Perhaps you could share with our listeners a little about UPro to start, just for those who maybe aren't familiar, and why you considered it really the perfect fit for you to join as CEO.
Absolutely. For those of us that don't know UPro, it stands for Year Up Professional Resources. We are a public benefit corporation and owned by a nonprofit organization, Year Up. We share a common mission and vision to ensure that underrepresented talent have a pathway to a great career with economic mobility and true career progression. So all of our partners are basically nonprofit organizations that support underrepresented talent in certifications, career readiness programming, and we are there at the end of that certification process to place them in a job. So how did I get here? Well, it's, you mentioned just the journey. I started out, my very first job was a YMCA day camp counselor. I was a daughter of a single mom, and there was a stigma many years ago on divorced moms and working moms, of which I had both. So you didn't talk about it, right? Part of my makeup became feeling a bit inferior because of that stigma. And I just became a champion for others in any time I saw or felt somebody felt inferior, I felt like I needed to stand up for them. But I think, you know, looking back, I was trying to stand up for myself and didn't know how to stand up for myself. And so it was easier to stand up for other people until I got pushed to the point that I needed to stand up for myself. You know, I'm at the YMCA, I go to school, I take a sales job. My first sales job was selling after school programs for latchkey kids, of which I was. And so where my heart lied, you know, it just made sense that I took a job for what I was passionate about and how I grew up myself. Fast forward, I adopted my daughter. Her birth mom wanted better for her. And had she not had the strength to handle adoption, my daughter very much could have been a student in one of our programs that we're placing. Her birth mom was 15 and her birth dad was here illegally in the US. And so really there's always been this red thread that just naturally led me here. Now I'm afforded the privilege really to be a part of something pretty remarkable for others that maybe weren't raised to understand what the word career means because of their opportunity or circumstance that they just couldn't control.
Michelle, what a blessing. It's such an inner kind of full circle for you that your life has come when you think about for your daughter, first of all, and for you to have her and to come together and now working at UPro. It's such an incredible, just an incredible story. And obviously, I'm really familiar with UPro through you mm-hmm. and knowing the company. We were on a call together recently where everyone in the comments, as soon as UPro came up, they were just like raving fans of UPro. UPro's the best. Everyone should partner with them. Know them. You're up. You know, you're up and the whole organization and what you're doing. So it really is a wonderful thing. And something else hit me as you were speaking. I know we're both from Michigan. My parents divorced when I was 6 months old. And I remember never running into another family of divorce until maybe middle school, which is kind of crazy as you think about it. So I never really thought about that in that way until you were talking about it today. And I think it is something that carried with me. So thank you for being open and sharing your story and truly just love the full circle that your life has come. So I guess, and another congratulations, just being in the C-suite of our industry. So I want to touch on that here for a minute. From the view of a CEO, what excites you most about being in our industry and why should people exploring new opportunities consider entering the staffing industry?
Sure. And I always love to meet and know and be connected with folks from Michigan. You meet them everywhere and love that. So why enter staffing and what is exciting? I think, you know, I came from HR and 74% of the HR industry is comprised of women. So when you just look at that number alone, that creates opportunity for women. This certainly has afforded me a career as a single mom. So the entrance to the staffing industry is unique because it's wide open. That's why I've stayed. That's why it's exciting. That's why I'm passionate about it. And companies are always going to need what we have, right? That alone from an opportunity standpoint is encouraging. Every time I talk to even my daughter's friends, like, what are you going to do? And I've had some of them intern with me throughout the years so that they can see the career in staffing in general and what that can do for especially women in the workforce.
It is such a great industry. I always think about what a wonderful place we are being in staffing. Everyone needs talent and everyone needs technology. We're at the perfect intersection to really make a difference for our own industry, but also clients. So I really hope that, as we talked about in the beginning, where people kind of fall into staffing, that it ends up becoming a destination industry for people, because we really are in a wonderful, wonderful position, including on the DEI front, to make a difference for people in their lives as well. In a recent Women Business Collaborative study in collaboration with ASA, SIA, TechServe, and several industry executives, specific to the recruitment industry, 48% of women employees made up entry-level positions. So that's almost 50%, let's say, male-female ratio in entry-level. And as you rise up in the ranks, those numbers dramatically decreased. Layer mm-hmm. on top of that, women of color, the numbers are even less. So for example, 21% of women are in the C-suite, with only 4% representing women of color. You are a CEO, one of very few women in our industry, obviously 21% we just talked about. You made the SIA Global Power 150 Women in Staffing list. You were named an SIA DE&I influencer. You sit on the Harvard Kennedy School Women's Leadership Board and the ASA Women in Leadership Council. So Michelle, having moved your way up in our industry and being recognized as a leader, what have you seen improve over the past few years as it relates to kind of lessening the gap to the C-suite level? And where do you believe there's still progress to be made?
First and foremost, being a heavy female overall industry, I think that companies can't ignore moving females into senior executive roles, right? If we are building women up in entry-level roles and we create development programs and network programs for women specifically, then executives and boards have to take notice that women need to be moving to that, you know, up and right in our 9-box succession planning. So I think from an improvement standpoint, we can't ignore the large female population in our industry and developing women to move into these roles. And if we don't, women will speak with their feet. Looking at the breakdown of turnover from women to men and comparing statistics within an organization to the population in each level in the organization and marrying that with turnover rates, I think that overall the companies can't ignore looking at the data. Women put up with a lot, right? We bet on ourselves and we put up with a lot. And then when we've put up with too much, we talk with our feet. And so I think from a succession planning standpoint, really looking at the data and comparing that to what women are telling us will be really substantial in the years to come.
Okay. I'm totally using that saying and I will reference you. Women will speak with their feet. That is so true. We will walk.
Yeah, we do.
Not work. I mean, look at you told a story early on in the conversation today about, well, you spoke with your feet and you walked right out the door. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's the risk that we face for sure if we don't continue to make such change.
Well, and you asked me also where progress needs to be made, right? And huge statistic, 21% females in C-suite. But, you know, let's be really clear. I am very clear and privileged that I am a white female in this role. And it is absolutely my responsibility to move the needle in supporting women of color to become leaders and to come in their own and to use their voice and to move forward in this industry. Because, you know, you see Black professional organizations for IT, you see it for accounting. We partner with NAMA, a wonderful organization. You also see Hispanic associations for various industries, but we as an industry need to support women of color in professional organizations, and would love to do a shout out for Delibra Wesley, who started the Black Women in Staffing group. We need more of this. And we as allies need to support women of color in staffing so that we can move the needle from the 4% that you quoted. And we as women, all races, need to be 21% and push that forward, because that 4% is just unacceptable.
I agree. And you took the words right out of my mouth with Delibra and the Women in Staffing group that she started. And it's truly been incredible. I'm not sure if you said it on the ASA Idea Group webinar featuring some of the women from the Black Women in Staffing group, and watching the comments basically and seeing women commenting about feeling like they were all alone and not having anyone to turn to, and now seeing hope, even if they were the only person within their company who happened to be a Black woman, they realized that they weren't the only ones in that situation, the only people, and that they could lean on other women in the industry that they're in and that they love and want to stay in and grow and rise up in, now have a resource and avenue to do that. So it's truly incredible if you think about, Michelle, the strides we have made over the past couple of years, really, and just driving awareness and creating these things. But it does take women like Delibra to make this change. So I really applaud her for doing that. And also you, and I know you and I work closely in the Women in Leadership Council as well for ASA, but all of these organizations and women coming forward, and men and our allies who are privileged and do have positions of power where they can make change, to use that in the greater good of doing just that, making change. So I'm really feeling hopeful that the change is coming, and that there's continued investment in time, dollars, people's time, to make such change.
Agreed. And UPRO is partnering with Delibra even further. We've brought her on as a consultant to support our emerging leader program. In our small little company, we are building an emerging leader program. We also just started our DEI council, and she is our consultant on our DEI council. So she's helping us really live what we have our clients really buy into. And we are turning our commitment also into action within our organization. And Delibra is incredibly respected in our organization, and we consider her a part of us as well.
Oh, that's incredible. Great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, you really are a natural advocate for others, and I've seen it firsthand. You've talked about it even here today. In fact, you were so determined to help others, you went back to school to get your MBA, as you wanted to make a difference at the community college level, where you were an instructor for nearly 18 years at Houston Community College, all while working full-time, mind you. You work hard, you roll up your sleeves, and you use your voice to make a difference for others. However, as you and I were chatting before the podcast and catching up, something that you've realized about yourself is that while you have always advocated for others, advocating for yourself hasn't always come easy. Share the lessons you've learned over the years and why you believe it's so important to be your number one fan and advocate for yourself personally and professionally to be your own career champion.
Yes, it's a vulnerable moment. And when you realize that you've been advocating for others, you don't practice advocating for yourself. And so it's unnatural. It's a little uncomfortable. And, you know, we talked about also speaking with our feet. And so huge lesson for me is not to wait for a pressing circumstance to use my voice or speak up on my own behalf. I have no problem doing that for others. But again, I think as women and as a woman, we endure a lot. And I could always bet on myself, right? And so I didn't really need to advocate because I knew I could do it and roll up my sleeves and just figure it out. But a pressing circumstance would have to arise and then I would blow, right? So really learning how to balance using my voice and rolling up my sleeves doing the work. When I figured that balance out is when my career really blossomed. And so I think it's that balancing between that pressing circumstance and knowing what the triggers are before that pressing circumstance for that balance is certainly, it's a lifelong lesson.
I love it. And I really hope that the people listening here today take that to heart because it is really easy to support other people, especially when you are in the habit of it and doing it. And we often put ourselves last. It's that whole, you've got to put your oxygen mask on first scenario.
Right.
Being there to support yourself and put yourself first is really critical and being your own champion. And that's something we often see just in confidence as women really struggling with their own confidence and something that they need to continue to work on and to remember that you are a CEO for a reason. They could have selected any one of those candidates. They selected you because you are the best for the role. You shared your why. And it's so incredible just thinking about your growing up with your mom and the programs you were part of and your daughter. And then to think about that, of course, this is where you should be. Let's talk about the importance of women supporting other women. As you know, I'm about to be in a book being published featuring 15 women from our industry with the title Together We Rise. It's a story of a group of women who came together during the pandemic and helped each other in ways we really never imagined, in ways that weren't always afforded to us growing up in our careers. A lot of us, myself included, have stories of women who didn't have our backs, which is such a shame as you think about what we're trying to accomplish on the equality front. Yet by not treating each other fairly, we're actually setting ourselves back in a way from unfair treatment to even mom shaming, as we talked about earlier. We've dealt with a lot. As you look back on your career and now look at where you are today and even ahead, why is this so important to address? What have you personally learned on this topic? And what are you doing to ensure it's better for the next generation of women?
Well, first of all, congratulations on your book. I cannot wait to be inspired by these 15 women. And I know this book will make a huge impact in our industry overall and building confidence in women. So thank you for that. You know, when I think about women supporting women, I just think about the lessons and where I'm at in my career. I think we have to accept that the folks we surround ourselves with and the folks we associate ourselves with, we end up being. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not so good. What I have learned, sometimes the hard way, is that if you can't talk about the folks you surround yourself with in the same manner that you would talk about yourself, there's two things that should happen. Either one, you need to surround yourself with new people, or two, you need to take a really hard look in the mirror. And both of them are hard. And I've been on both options. When you figure out as you get older that you don't need as many folks in your circle, and as long as those folks are completely how you would speak about yourself, then, you know, if you can do that with integrity, you're on a good path. But if not, then two choices: get a new friend or look in the mirror. And I think if women were really honest with themselves and gave themselves that advice, then we'd be in a better place in the workforce with helping each other and not experience mom shaming or stepping over somebody to get that career step. We need to be lifting each other up. I mean, that 21% that we talked about, we cannot improve that number without working together versus apart.
I can feel the passion in your voice, Michelle, on the topic. And it's so true. I was just reading a post by Jeanette Harvey talking about the queen bee. And
yes.
really almost like adult bullying to a certain degree, and looking for signs in different people and what they're doing. And I love what you're saying as far as looking in the mirror and then look around you. Who are you surrounded by? And if it doesn't look how you are and how you want to be perceived, to find new friends. And these were tough lessons that I know you and I both experienced throughout our career. And it really can shape how you feel even about yourself, depending on the experiences that you've been through. And I remember going on a business trip, and I brought my mom early in my career. I was probably in my late 20s, and she had come with me. We were going overseas. We were at a dinner, and she said, you know, you really need to watch your back with the people who are here. And I thought, what are you talking about? Everyone, you know, I'm so naive. I really try to find the best in everyone. And it really opened my eyes to realize that, wow, how could other women or people in general not have anything but my best interest at stake and their own best interest at stake? And it really was an eye-opening experience for me just to start thinking about that. I do feel like it's gotten a little bit better, but it is something that still kind of rears its ugly head every once in a while. And the more we don't just brush it under the rug and we do talk about it, and the more we hear people like you talking about it from that C-suite view and vantage point, the more it is hopefully going to change. And again, why wouldn't we support each other? We've got to change that 21% number. And if we don't have each other's back, who will?
Right. Right.
All right, Michelle, we are almost out of time, but I don't want to end without a few rapid fire questions.
I'm ready.
All right. Am I ready for you? I always get nervous. The last question, but we'll get started. Okay. Turning point that changed your life forever.
Fairly easy, though deep. Turning point for sure, being told I couldn't have children, but having the amazing privilege of adoption.
Oh, that's incredible. Such a blessing. What is one thing you will not compromise on when it comes to wellness and balance?
Having dogs. You know why? I'm looking at them. They're just, you know, they rest regularly, right? So it reminds you to rest, but they've taught me unconditional love. They require regular potty breaks. We all need that between Zoom calls. Yes. So I use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
And it allows me my daily podcast time, because I force that with walks. I listen to leadership and inspirational podcasts, taking them for walks. And I've come to cherish that for myself. And my dogs afford me that.
Oh, no one has used that as an answer yet on our podcast. And you've given me a couple epiphanies today, Michelle, I have to admit, on our podcast.
That's great.
Yes. And one of them is the wellness balance, because I am also a fellow dog lover. And that is absolutely something that my husband just said to me the other day. I've never known you to not have a dog in any point of your adult life. I always had them growing up as well. And yeah, you may just have encouraged me to start thinking about our next sooner than later.
And now I will never not have two. So I had one forever. And then once you have two and it helps you build in that balance. Now my husband's like, oh, great. Now we can never have less than two dogs. Yeah.
All right. What is the single best piece of career advice you'd give to your younger self?
Oh, so much. Oh, golly. I think that surrounding myself with the right women and knowing that it's okay to have less than more in your life is not always better. And when we're younger, we just think we need more, and we don't until we get really comfortable with ourselves and find our voice and stand up for ourselves. You know, I wouldn't have changed the journey, but if I would have known that sooner, it would have helped with a little bit of heartache.
It's that popularity complex. We fight with that at a younger age, and then the keeping up with the Joneses at a later age. And I agree with you. That's something I wish I would have known early on. That's great advice. Okay, Michelle, what is one thing people would be surprised to find out about you?
I think that the further up in your career you go, people think you can spell. I can't spell. I cheated on every spelling test throughout grade school, and spell check doesn't even help. I'm a horrible speller.
horrible speller. That is another first. And it's really good to know about you. And see, people, if you see it, you can be it no matter what.
You can be a bad speller and you too can have this job.
CEO. It's yeah, I know. My husband often says, I have a thing with pronunciation. I don't know. I struggle with it. So it's a family thing. We all kind of joke about it, but yeah, sometimes you can get in your head. You just got to accept it and embrace it. So it's all good.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Michelle, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the Edge podcast. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed getting to know you through ASA and other groups we're a part of, and just really am inspired by you and appreciate everything you're doing for our industry, the time you're volunteering, the people you're helping out, embracing different groups and organizations. So just thank you for making such a big difference in our industry. Those of you listening here today probably would like to know how to get in touch with Michelle. So Michelle, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you? What do you prefer?
Folks can reach me at msims@upro.com. And I would love to chat with anybody.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Michelle. And thank you again for being a guest.
Thank you. Absolutely enjoyed it, and take care.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.